being at the top of Chof Cherem Aleph. We left off in the middle of the sugi yesterday about Megalgal and Shua. What's the source for the fact that we are Megalgal and Shua? So Mar says that comes from Sota, the fact that we can be Majbia, the woman, with regards to her status when she was in Arusa. The Gemara proved at that point that there's no way that as an Arusa she could have been suspected of being a Sota. So the only way that we'd be Majbia her was through Gilgul Shvua. That's our source for Gilgul Shvua. Then the Gemara says, well, fine, then I know that by Sota, by Isura, how do I know that it's also applicable by Mamon? And so the Gemara says, that's Tani by Yishmael, that's a Kal v'chomer, right? That if Sota, which requires two Edim to generate the Shvua, right, that you can be Magalgul Shvua, Mamon, but it only takes one aid to generate the Shua, then certainly, right, then I can have Gilgul Shua. Now the Gemara asks the next question, which is three lines down on Chof Cherem Aleph, Ashkechan Bevadai, Safek Minalan. So what does that mean, Ashkechan Bevadai and Safek Minalan? In that, we also know by Rashi, as he interprets it, Safek means Shema. Right, then I force you to take a Shavua because something might have happened. Right, Vadai is where I'm making a Tanat Bari. I have a directed claim where I know that you, or I'm saying that I think I know you do. You need to do something or you owe me something, and that's what generates the Shavua. So now, let's think about that. If the difference between Safek and Vadai has to do with the Ta'ana, the claim against the individual, then if I look at Sota, right, Sota is also a claim of Safek. So what's the right, what's the Gemara's question over here? So Rashi is...
Because we said it was Safek after, and so we said, well, we've got to give him also for the Elohim, it's a double Safek.
Right, excellent. So that's actually the answer, because that's exactly what that Rashi explains the difference between them. That by Sota, the original Shavuah is a Safek. So when I'm a Megalgal the Shavuah, I'm also allowed to, I'm able to Megalgal the Shavuah, that's Dome, that's similar to the original core Shavuah, which is Safek. Mamon, I can only generate a Shavuah Mamon, right, with a Tanat Vadai, meaning that what we know is a Tanat Bari. If I have a Tanat Bari through an Eid Echad, that's what generates a Shavuah. On that, I can be Megalgal, another Shavuah, which is Dome to the core Shavuah, which is a Shavuah Vadai. What the Gemara wants to know now is, how do I know that even in Mamon, when I'm Megalgal the Shavuah, I can be Megalgal it onto something that's a Safek. Even though the core Mamon Shavuah is a Shavuah that's generated by a claim of Vadai, how do I know that it can also be Megalgal it onto a Shvuat Safek? For instance, what's a fake is Shvuat HaShutfin, Varusin, partners, right, sharecroppers, where you can make a demand on them to be accountable, you can take a Shvuat. So I don't know why I can be Megalgal Shvuat when the core Shvuat is a Vadai and have a Safek. So Tam and Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Nemar Shvuat B'chutz, the Nemar Shvuat B'fnim. It says we have Shavuot that are outside of the Mikdash, and we have Shavuot that are in the Mikdash. Mashvuot Tamura Bifnim, just like the Shavuot that are taken by Sota, Asaba Safek Kivadai. We treat a Safek like a Vadai. So just so too on the outside, meaning by Mamon, we're going to treat the Safek like a Vadai. So now if that's the case, we're learning it from Sota, Dimei Matinu, right? Then why did the Gemara have the original question? Why do we need the, how do we know that by Mamon you can have a Shavuah? Just say over here, the Gemara has a Dimei Matinu, like just like internally, right, you can have a Safek in Sota and treat it like a Vadai, and there's a learning from that to Mamon. So it also says, well, it's two stages in the Gemara. Had I not had the Kal v'chomer, I would not have learned this Mei Matzino, because I would have said, you can't learn out Mamon from Isur. You can't learn out Mamon from Sota. Once I have the Kal v'chomer, and I know you can learn out Mamon from Sota, then I can go further, a step further, and say, just like by Sota, right, the Safek, meaning that the claim is only a claim of suspicion, yet we're able to force you to take a Shavuah as if it was a Vadai, as if it was certain. So too by Mamon, just like a Safek, we can take a Shavuah and a Safek, a Shavuah and a Vadai. So we allow you to force a Shavuah by a Safek, like we allow you to force a Shavuah by a Vadai.
So again, Ashkechan the Vadai means what?
Ashkechan bevadai means that we, by mamon, we know that you can take a shavuah dome to the original shavuah, which means that the core shavuah is a shavuah only when I make a viable claim against you, a certain claim. So therefore, the shavuot that I include that you can throw into the package, Google shavuah, should only be similar to that, which is things where you have definitive claims. But things like, for instance, Shuata Shutvin, Shuata Yisim, which are claims of Safek, which says, look, maybe you cheated me when we were partners. Maybe you didn't give me all the crops that you were supposed to give me. So those are not definitive claims. Maybe over there they would not be included in Gilgul Shua. Tota, which is a Safek, and we're Magalgal a Safek, the core Shavu is a Safek. So therefore I'm entitled to be Magalgal a Safek. Right, so the original Shavuah of Sota is done only on a suspicion. We don't have any valid claim. So therefore, I'm allowed to include other Shavuot that are similar to it, the core Shavuah of Safek. So what we're saying, by Mamon, the core Shavuah is only a Vadai. So I can only include Shavuot that are similar to the core Shavuah.
That in and of itself is an assumption.
Right, that's the assumption of the Gemara. The assumption of the Gemara is that when you have Gilgul Shavuah, that you can only be Magalgal Shavuah that looks similar to the core original Shavuah.
I would think Kal Chomer, like Magalgal and stuff, but it's certainly like Magalgal.
In the end, the Gemara says it's a main Matsino, that yes, that just like by Sota we treat the Suffolk like a Vadai, so too by Mamon we'll treat the Suffolk like a Vadai, and therefore you'll be able to be Magalgal Safek because we'll treat it like a Vadai is connected. Alright. So now, the Gemara says, Ad heichan gilgul shvuah. How far can I go to be megalgel shvuah? So I mean that, what can I ask the guy to swear? Once I have him on the stand taking an oath, what can I ask him to do? So Amrav Yud Amrav, the Amrav, he shavali shein abdiata. You make him swear that you're not my Eved Kanani. So he says, how ush muta ish mashtilin lay? You can't make a claim like that, that someone's your Eved Kanani. The Tanya, we have a brisa, kore l'chavero Eved. Someone who calls his friend an Eved Kanani, yehebi nidui, that should be placed in nidui. Mamzer, he calls his friend a mamzer, so feg et ha'ar bayim. He gets malchus makat majut. Right? Rasha, you call him a rasha, yureid imo l'chayav. What does it mean, yureid imo l'chayav? It means the Beis Din will not take any action. But, on the other hand, he, the person who has been called the rasha, is mutar l'sanoto, he can hate him. Right? Afkuma eat prana. Right, you can hurt his livelihood, right? And you can challenge his whatever his mitzvah, whatever his field of endeavor is, you can cause some challenges over there. So that you're allowed to take him on in a sense that you can, right, either sagat bull or things that weren't being necessarily considered appropriate behavior in this instance would be condoned because of that. Tosus points out that it's interesting that this is all mida kineged mida. Right, a person who wants to call him an eved kanani, right, so what does an eved kanani do? That he's a ruhr, right? And so therefore we are mekalel him with nidui or shamta, right, which is in arur. When it goes to mamzer, right, he wants to claim that somehow his buddy was over a lav because he was a mamzer and he got married. So what do we give him? We give him makat mardut. And again, if he calls him a rasha, so then he's called him, he's hurt his reputation. And so here we allow him to be pogeya in his reputation as well. So the mida kineged mida. But what do you see from this? That you can't make a claim like that. You can't make a serious claim that a person's an eved. So you can't say that's the gilgul shvuah. Halama rava yishavah lishalonim keret li be'eved ivri. You have to take a shvuah that you what? That you weren't sold to me as an eved ivri. So haitana tamal yatuhi. What do you mean? Why is he? That's a fair claim. That's a claim, a monetary claim. If he was sold as an eved ivri, then he has a monetary claim against him. That's a fair and fine claim. So mamoni slegabe. He has money with him. I mean, that he has a monetary obligation. He's making a claim, right? And he can make a claim and ask for that and ask for a shuat. It doesn't seem like any chiddush. Number one, and possibly even get an independent claim because he can make such a claim against him. So Gemara says, Rav Latame, the Rav is according to Israel, Dama Rav, Eved Ivri Gufo Kanoi. So we've seen the Shita of Rav before, that in general most people believe that Eved Ivri is only obligated for his production, right, for his output, for his pulot. Whereas Rav believes that it's Gufo Kanoi, just like an Eved Kanani. So if it's Gufo Kanoi to him, then the claim is not necessarily a monetary claim, but it has, right, implications in terms of his status. So now, Yahafi, Tainu Karko, that's the same as Karko, because if it's Eved is kanui, his gufo is kanui, that's equivalent of real property. Just like Eved Kanani is considered real property, so too, if you believe that Eved Ivri is kanui gufo, he'd also be considered like karka. So when I say, I would have thought karka hu da'abde inshay dimiz abne b'tzino. But maybe people sell land in private. Why? Because they don't want people to know about their selling land. They don't want to know either that they're in difficulty or that they're selling this property. In either the zavin, right, let's lay kalav. So it's a possibility that it was sold and not everybody knows about it. So that's why we allow them to do gilgul shuva by karka. Hi, either the zavin, over here, if a person is sold as an eved ivri, right, kala yisleh. For sure everybody knows about it. So if we don't hear any rumors or nobody else is substantiating such a claim, right, then maybe he should not be able to even gilgul shuva in this instance, kamash halon. But even in the case of eved ivri, which is also karka, but karka, the isle kala, right? Karka, the isle kala is by eved ivri. Even there, we allow for a gilgul shuva. We allow you to be megalgal the shuva down, and that's what Rava says, the chiddush, or the extent to which one can be megalgal shuva. And now, this next Mishnah is it's a difficult Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah is talking about Kinyan Chalipin. We'll read the Mishnah, and then the Gemara itself will have difficulty with the Mishnah and try to amend the Mishnah to read in a manner that makes more sense, but just hold on to your seat. Alright, so here, Koha Nase Damim Be'acher. Right, so now the Havamina is that anything, and that it will be considered value, right, in other places. What does that mean? So Rashi explains what's supposed to Nasim Be'acher means money, right, any money. Right, so then if you do a kinyan chalipin with money, right, then it will work just like any other kinyan chalipin. So even though in general, right, we have what's called money, right, cannot acquire. So say, for instance, if you paid money for an object, we don't say then that the kinyan is done by ma'ot konot. We don't say that ma'ot konot.
You still can with the money itself.
Right, well, you can. This is what we're saying. You can. That generally money, when you pay, right, you don't get the object of the kinyan because you need a kinyan mishicha to complete it. Over here, if you use the money, instead of as purchasing it with the money, use the money as a kinyan chalipin. So instead of the buyer handing a handkerchief to the seller, and the seller taking a kinyan handkerchief, he hands him money. But instead of saying this is not payment, but this is a chalipin, I'm giving you one of some property of mine, you make a kinyan in that property, I have a kinyan chalipin. So kinyan is a zakha zeh. Once the seller takes the money, right, then it's chayiv zeh b'chalifa. Then the whatever property he was selling now becomes his, even though there was no kinyan mishicha over here, because we're using a kinyan chalipin, not a torah tamim. We're not using ma'ot konot. What's a case like this? Hechlif shor b'parah. Right, and then if you exchange a shor for a parah, uchamor b'shor, or a shor with a chamor and a shor, kevin shezachazet. If one of the people, meaning for instance the buyer, buys or takes possession of the animal, it's chayvzeh b'chalifa. The other animal goes into possession of the other individual.
It's not.
Very good. All right, so the mission is discontinuous.
That's why I said, it's a chayvzeh b'chalifa. If you give an example, you don't give an example of money, you give me a monetary, you give a two objects.
Very good. Excellent. So Gemara's going to ask you a question. Exactly. The Gemara says, Chalipin, my nihu. What is this Chalipin that we're talking about here? So Gemara says, Matbeya. Coin. So Gemara says, Shramino, Matbeya, Nasa Chalipin. So from this, right, that you can conclude that money can be used in a Kenyan Chalipin. Even though we learned in Bava Metzia, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that you can't use money for a Kenyan Chalipin. Yet here our Gemara is saying that our mission is suggesting that money could be used for a Kenyan Chalipin. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Hachi Kamar. This is what it means. Similar to what David was suggesting over here. This is what it means. Kol hanishom damim ve'acher. Right? Anything that you want to give over or you would trade and you would have to assess its value. It has monetary value. This is what you were suggesting, David. Kevan shezachazeh nitchayev b'chalipin. And once you acquire it, then you are now, right, obligated in the other side. The other side, the purchase automatically happens. This is exactly what you suggested, David. Deka nami. And the proof for the Gemara is exactly what you pointed out, David, in the Mishnah, that it's discontinuous, which now makes sense. Right, Gani, Kevan hechlif shor b'para ochamor b'shor. Because the examples the Mishnah gave were metalkalin, two sets of metalkalin, and therefore the Mishnah must be talking about something that has value, but is not necessarily money. And that would be the explanation of the Mishnah, Shema Mina. Alright, so now the Gemara went from the Havamina, as we explained it, that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about money. Second half of the Mishnah is talking about objects. To say that the entire Mishnah is talking about objects, and Kol Nishom B'damim, according to Rabbi Yudam Rav, means, right, anything that if you give it for money, right, then you have to assess it, and has monetary value. Anything that has monetary value, excluding coinage, would be included in our Mishnah, and exactly the explanation that you suggested, that's where the Gemara comes to. But now the Gemara wants what was the Havamina of the Gemara that Mabeya should work? How would you explain the Mishnah based on the original proposition that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about money and the second half of the Mishnah is talking about Shor and Parah? How did you get from one from the other? So Gemara says, well, this is what it means. My case, how is the second half of the Mishnah example of the first half of the Mishnah? Perot nami ave chalipin. There's a missing phrase in the Mishnah, which is that you can use money for chalipin, and perot also do chalipin. Ketzad. What's the case here? A chalip basar shor bipara. Not shor bipara. Not a two animals you're exchanging, but rather meat for another animal. O basar chamor bishor. Or a meat of a chamor bishor. So the example in the second half of the Mishnah says not only does matbea coin work for chalipin, but even perot can work as an exform or an exchange for a chalipin. And Rashi suggests over here, not everybody agrees with this, but Rashi suggests over here, kol mide de lo havi kli, anything that's not a utensil, peri karile, lenya chalipin, will be called a peri for chalipin. If it's not a kli, then it's called perot. Right, so that's the Gemara saying. The Gemara saying we're giving you two examples. The Mishnah, the original Havamina was the Mishnah had two examples in it. An example of chalipin done with coins, not paying for the thing, but using it as a coin as a kinyan chalipin. And the second half has an example of kinyan chalipin done on yedei peri. Coins of action means a metalcoin. Anything that is not a coin, right? Anything that's not a coin and not a utensil, and that the second half of the Mishnah says is a valid form of chalipin. Because where do we learn chalipin out from, right? Mishalaf ish na'alo. So we only know it from shoe. A shoe is a kli. So we think that only a kli can be used in kinyan chalipin. So the Mishnah comes and teaches us, no, not only can a kli be used, but even perot or even matbea can be used for kinyan chalipin. So that would be the Havamina of the Gemara. So Gemara says, Enicha l'Rav Sheshet. Right, so that makes sense according to Rav Sheshet. We've seen this machlokas before. That Amar perot have the chalipin. The perot can produce chalipin. Elul Rav Nachman Amar perot have the chalipin. According to Rav Nachman, it says perot cannot create chalipin. How are you going to explain the Mishnah? Because now you have an example in the Mishnah perot creating chalipin. That'd be against Rav Nachman. So he's not going to set up the Mishnah this way. Mike LeMegmar, what are you going to? How are you going to explain this? Hakikamak. This is what I'm going to say. Yesh damim shein ke chalipin. There's certain money that acts like chalipin. Ketzad. Hechlif demei shor vipara. Right? Or demei chamor bishor. Then the exchange here is not of basar shor, of peyrot and an animal, but rather with money and an animal. So the examples in the second half of the Mishnah support the first half of the Mishnah that money can be used for, right, chalipin. So Mar says, my time. So he says, why does that work? Because he says, Shavar law ki Rabbi Yochanan. He holds like Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Had amar davar Torah ma'ot konot. He says, mina Torah, purchasing something with money creates a kinyan. Meaning that you don't need any other kinyan besides giving over the money. So over here, it's going to act. Money is not going to actually work as a kinyan chalipin, but it'll look like a kinyan chalipin, which is that when you hand over the value, right, automatically that will create, right, will create a kinyan over here. So if you, the example Rashi gives, I mean, the example Rashi gives over here is Ketzad Yechlif Demei Shor Para, if you sell a shor for a manet, right, and then he made a kinyan in Mashkol, and now you're chayav to pay 100 manet to him. And then the seller says to him, you know, instead, I see you have a cow over there. Instead of giving me the 100 manet you owe me, give me this para. So over here, Rashi suggests that he won't have to make a kinyan on the para, because he owes him money, and they're exchanging for money. As soon as he purchases it with that money, that's the kinyan. Ma'ot konot. You don't need anything else. Right? So that's it. Amar devar Torah, ma'ot konot. The Gemara says, Matam Amru Mishicha Kone. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, why do you need Mishicha at all? That's only Gezeres Chachamim. Shema Yomru Nisru Chitecha Baliyah. Because they're afraid that what? That the seller will sell him produce. The guy will buy it, paying the money, and he won't deliver it yet. Then all of a sudden there'll be a fire where the produce is sitting. And the guy will say, you know what? I don't need to do anything about it. It's not mine anymore. I don't have to deal with this stuff. It's his problem. So Gemara says, Milso the Shchiach Gazru Babonon. When it came to something that is common, right? That whenever you're buying, meaning that when you're buying where you hand over money, then the Chachamim were gozer that you have to do a Kinyan Mishicha. Ma'ot were not sufficient. Milso de lo Shchicha, right? If what's a Milso de lo Shchicha? In a case where he owed him money beforehand. There, lo Gazru Babonon, and they were mamited on the Din de Oraisa. That's the way Rashi responds here. So what? That, you can have money work as a full-fledged kinyan. Why can't you have money work as a full-fledged kinyan? Well, that's what the Torah says. The Torah says when you pay money, you have a kinyan. But we have, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that ma'ot are able to buy property and create a kinyan, we say, what? That's only true midoraisa, midorabbanan, and we still require a kinyan mishicha. So how come over here we don't require a kinyan mishicha? So how come I says this is an unusual case? What's unusual about this case is that I already owed him money. When I already owed him money, and then I exchanged an object for that money, we're going to be mamited on the din d'oraisa. We're going to say whatever the din d'oraisa is that ma'ot or konot, that's going to work over here, because this is not the usual type of transaction. And since it's not the usual type of transaction, the chachamim were not gozer that there is a kinyan mishicha, or a requirement for a kinyan mishicha in that type of transaction. So, alright, so Mark says, wait a minute. Okay, so now you can explain, Rav Nachman can explain our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan. Ulder Reis Lokish Tamar Mishicha Mikureshit Min HaTorah. Reis Lokish says that a Kinyan Mishicha is what's required in the Torah. Not Kinyan Ma'ot. Why? Because he says, Okono Miyad Liyad, right? We saw this before. Okono Miyad Amitecha. That's a Davar Nikne Miyad Liyad. So that requires a Kinyan Mishicha. So he says, Hanicha Yisavar Lokar Rav Sheshis. So Reis Lokish can explain our Mishnah according to Rav Sheshis. That you can't do chalipin with a right with payrolls. Umas Lokani, and according to Reish Lakish himself, coinage, money does not create a kinyan, because you need a kinyan mishicha no matter what in all instances. But my mukhi law, how can he establish your mishnah? So Mar says, a pork cup, Rav Sheshis really. That's it. Reish Lakish will have to hold like Rav Sheshis, because he can't explain our mishnah according to Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman's whole explanation of our mishnah is premised on the idea that ma'ot can be kanot, and that's only according to the shita of Rav Yochanan. So now again, just to chaz over quickly here, I'm explaining this point to Rashi in a second. I'll point out to you how Tosfos differs. Rashi brings an alternative girsa and he rejects it. Tosfos says the Ri and the Rach have this girsa and their mommy this girsa and they think it's the right girsa here. So I'll explain that to you in a second. But here, just quickly, we have a Mishnah. A Mishnah makes a cryptic statement, and then the Mishnah says, and gives examples, Parash Shor and Shor and Chamor, gives example of the doubt. What is it talking about? So Rashi's original assumption is that there are two parts of the Mishnah. The first half of the mission is about matveya, using a coin as a chalipin. Second half of the mission is talking about the tafelin, using the tafelin as a chalipin. And the mission is coming to teach you what? That both of them work as chalipin. The Gemara says, wait a minute. We know that there is no kinyan chalipin with matveya. Coinage can't be used for a kinyan chalipin. So what are you talking about over here? So the Gemara says, no. The case here is that the original statement as an example is saying anything that has monetary value can be used in a kinyan chalipin. So that means anything outside of coin, anything outside of coin and call it tafelin can be used in a kinyan chalipin. Ketzad, what is an example of that? Sure. Right? Tefelin shor b'parach, omar b'shor. And that's the actual proof of the Gemara. See, now the Mishnah is consistent because you have everything referring to tafelin through the Mishnah. The Gemara goes back and says, okay, fine. We have a conclusion to the Gemara. Now, what about the Havamina? What was the Gemara thinking when there were two pieces of the Mishnah? Coin and then tafelin. How is the second half of the Mishnah related to the first half of the Mishnah? It says ketzad. Which means the second half of the Mishnah is giving example of the first half of the Mishnah. How is Shor and Chamor an example of exchanging kinyan chalipin with money? So Gemara says, no. This is what I thought. The Gemara said like this. The Mishnah was really two parts. You have to amend the Mishnah. There was coin works as chalipin, and also peirot work as chalipin. Peirot work as chalipin. Ketzad. What's the case like that? That's Shor b'Chamor. Not Shor and Chamor, a live Shor and a live Chamor, but rather Dmei Shor b'Chamor or Dmei Chamor the short, that the value, that you're exchanging value over here. And when you're exchanging value, right, that's what generated the kinyan chalipin over here. You did kinyan chalipin and peirot. This Rashi explains, peirot is anything that is not a kli. Any talcum that are not a kli, right, would work. And Rashi says over here that it would work with the shorchai as well. That even a live short would work. Meaning that you could have just said shorcha more, because that too is also, according to Rashi, that's also peirot. But the Gemara wanted to give an example of a shor, basar shor, which is clearly peirot, in order to draw the distinction between Rav Sheshis and Rav Nachman. So now the Gemara says, okay, that explanation, the Mishnah, is viable according to Rav Sheshis, who thinks you can do a kinyan chalipin with peirot. Right? Of course, Rashi, peirot means all metalkalin, so that works. Right, but according to Rav Nachman, because you can't do a kinyan chalipin with peirot, how is he going to explain this habamino of the Mishnah? Now, according to Rashi, it's not only explain the habamino, how is he going to explain the conclusion of the Mishnah? What's the conclusion of the Mishnah? The conclusion of the Mishnah, according to our Gemara above, when Adam Askana said that our Mishnah is talking about a kinyan chalipin with metalkalin objects. And according to Rashi, the word peirot means is synonymous with metalkalin. So according to even to the conclusion of the Mishnah, how is Rav Nachman going to explain our Mishnah? According to Rashi, this question of Rav Nachman is both on the Havimina and on the Maskana of the Gemara, because both of them are Kenyan Chalipin the Peros. They both
don't have Peros. In our Mishnah, we don't have the word Peros.
Right, but Rashi says the definition of the word Peros is Metalkalin. And that's what Rashi says.
Other than Kalim.
Right? Metalkalin other than Kalim is synonymous. Rashi says the word Peros is a general term for Metalkalin. Because of that, Rashi says Rav Nachman has a problem both with the Maskana, which is the way we explain the Mishnah and Maskana, which is talking about metalkalin, right? Kalim. And number two, according to the Havamina, which said that it was using a coin in the first half, and then the second half was talking about peirot. So how does Rav Nachman explain both the Havamina and the Maskana? So that the Gemara says over here, in the answer of the Gemara is that according to Rav Nachman, the case is a case of ma'ot. And according to him, that'll be the conclusion of the Gemara also. Not only the Havamina, but the Maskana of the Gemara is that we're talking about a purchase done with money over here, but money in a strange way. Not the normal way of purchasing where you're giving over money, but in a case where he already owed him money, or a case maybe like Steve was suggesting, like, I have a picadon, right? And then he buys it, which is would not be included under the regular Gzeres Chachamim. That even though Rabbi Yochanan believes that Ma'ot Kanot Midoraisa would still require Kinyan Mishicha Midorabanan, so that Kinyan of Mishicha Midorabanan, the requirement of Kinyan Mishicha Midorabanan, will only be applicable, right? Will only be applicable when you have a normal transaction. But over here, so this is a strange form of transaction where the money was already given beforehand and you owe them the money in exchange for owed money. In that instance, we won't be, right, in that instance, we won't be gozer that you have to have a kinyan mashikha. And again, the Gemara says that only works according to Rabbi Yochanan and not according to Rish Lakish, who believes you need a kinyan midrash mashikha. That's the explanation of Rabbi Rashi. The Re and the Rak have an alternative view, sir. And when they say Rav Sheshis and Rav Nachman argue, they argue only in peirot, literally peirot, like you were suggesting to me. It doesn't say peirot in our Mishnah. There's two different things. There's something called mutalkalin, and there's something called peirot. Peirot are what you think of, like, you know, idea that peirot are things other than, not produce that you can't use, or ochel, things like that, that are considered peirot. And therefore, the question on Rav Nachman is only, right, only based on the Havamina of the Gemara. According to the Maskana of the Gemara, we're talking about metalkalin in the Mishnah, even Rav Nachman agrees that metalkalin do a kinyan chalipin. The only question on Rav Nachman, then according to Tosos, is in the Havamina. In the Havamina that we thought that it was peirot, that it was demei shor, right, and demei parah, which is the equivalent of, right, over there, that it was peirot, where we said that it was a basar shor, or basar chamor, right, that is the equivalent of ochel or peirot. In that instance, Rav Nachman has a problem explaining the Mishnah. So he switches it to Demei Para and Demei Shor in order to deal with that, and that's the conclusion of the Gemara. According to Rashi, again, Rashi says the question of the Gemara is on Rav Nachman, both in the Havamina and the Maskana, because according to Rashi, Machlokes Rav Nachman Rav Sheshis, right, is on everything. Anything that is not a Kli, they disagree with whether you can do a Kinyan Kalipin in it or not. Tosfos says no. Their disagreement solely revolves around Peirot and Ophel and Peirot. And that's where they argue, but rather other metalkalin, even Rav Nachman agrees, will be a good kinyan chalipin. And therefore, the Gemara's question here was only about the Havamina, not about the Maskana. All right, so that's this piece of the Gemara. Next Mishnah. Reshut gvoha b'kesef, reshut hediot b'chazakah. So, gvoha, heck, Yesh takes possession through, purchases through money, and restricted yod and a layman have transactions with chazakah. Chazakah here, as Rashi says, is meshicha. Kenya meshicha, not chazakah like we've learned before, you know, meaning chazakah by karka, but chazakah means that he takes possession of it right through Kenya meshicha. So that's it. It's an ad. Where's
Amir? I'm
sorry? Right. So Amir Ateldig, when you say something to Hekdesh, Kimisir Ateldig Hedjot. It's equivalent of generating a Kenyan by a Hedjot. So now Gemara is going to ask Tarabana. Kapesad Rishut HaGroa B'Kesef. Has a work that Hekdesh acquires by Kesef. So this is what Steve was suggesting. Gizbar Shnatan Ma'ot B'Behema. He pays for an animal with money. Afilu Behema B'Sof Olam. Even if the animal is somewhere else in the world, he's buying something for a Korban Sibur. Kana, he acquires it. So there's no Kinyan Mashiach here. As soon as he lays out the money, it's good. U'Behed Yot, Lo Kana Ashim Shof. Right, by a lay person, he can't acquire an animal in such a manner. He needs to do a Kinyan Mashiach on that animal. Either because Reish Lakish, who believes you have to do a Kinyan Mashiach of the Orai. So Rabbi Yochanan says there's a Kana Shach coming that you must do a Mashiach in order to acquire such a para.
But this seems like a disadvantage tactic, because now the...
Oh, very good. Case, this is Mars, exactly. Amirat Elik Vot, Sirat Elik Yot, that's the top of the next stop. We'll get exactly to your point. I mean, that your speech or anything you say, you utter, is the equivalent of making a kinyan by hedjot. Omer, sure as they will not. Bite the hekdesh, a few of the no matter where they are, tana. Hekdesh gets it. You can be makdish something, whatever you say, goes and happens. The hedjot, well, cana, chim shok, again, be yachzik. And you can't take possession of it. Hachim shok, mishicha would be by an animal, and by a bite, it would be chazakah, right, acquiring it through a chazakah. So now, it's Tzvi's question. Wait a minute. If you say that ma'ot are kanot to hektesh, hektesh is at a disadvantage at some points because they can't get out of the transaction. And then if it's kanot, so that's what Gemara says here. Mashcho b'maneh. What happens if an individual was moshech, right, that he took something from Hekdesh, he wanted to buy something from Hekdesh, and he did a Kinyan Mashiach on it. V'lo yispik l'todo ad sh'amad b'matayim. But he made the Kinyan Mashiach on the animal, and he was buying it from Hekdesh, it was only worth 100. But then he goes to pay for it, it's now worth 200. Notei matayim. He has to give 200. My time off. But not done a kesef, become low. Hekdesh doesn't have, there's no Kinyan by Hekdesh until you pay money. So the Kinyan Mashiach did nothing with regards to Hekdesh, and the sale is not official until he pays the money. So now what about the other way around? And that he didn't have the ability to, what, he didn't redeem it, and it went down in price. So this is your question, Zvi. No time of time, you still have to pay 200. Why? My time up. Right, a lay person can't be in a better position, situated better than Hekdesh. They can't have the upper hand. Right, why? Because, right, Hekdesh always wins, but also by a Hedjot, right, if you are Moshech, in the case of Hedjot, that is a Kinyan, or sufficient Kinyan, and since it's a sufficient Kinyan over here, then by Hekdesh it will be considered a sufficient Kinyan to obligate you at the higher price. Mm-hmm. Now, the Obimatayim, what happens if he redeems it with 200? He paid 200 in cash already, the Lord speak the Moshechot, Jamad B'maneh, and he didn't do a Kinyan Mashiach until it's Maneh, no Tei Matayim, then he has to give the 200, because money works by Hekdesh. And there's nothing to talk about here. My time, not that I kiss him, come low. The transaction's done when the money's paid, and it's his already. But when he paid the money, the 200 level, the animal was already his, the Kinyan Mashiach is irrelevant. What happens with the Obamana, the Manet, that he paid 100? He paid 100 with the money. But he didn't have a chance to what? To take possession of it, to do a Kinyan Mashiach until it went up to 200. Mashahada, Padui. This is an exception to all these things. Why? But he's redeemed, he pays at the lower price of 100 and not 200. Why? Beino tani ala manet. Amai? Achanami neima lo yehei koach hedyot hamer b'chekdesh. Let's say that the Hekdesh should always have the upper hand, and since he didn't do a Kinyan Mashiach yet, he should be obligated to be redeemed at the higher price, the 200 now. For it says, atu hedyot, in such a transaction, and in a hedyot, a layperson, la b'mishor karakai. What does that mean? That means that even though, in general, ma'ot are not kunot, we don't say, we say they're still required of Kinyan mishicha by hedjot. Once a person pays money for an object, right, even though there's no kinyan, so technically you can reverse or you can get out of the transaction. The Gemara says that one who goes out of the transaction, right, misha para miyanshe stom miyanshe mora mabul, yifram in aisha hu, that Hashem who punished the anshe stom and the anshe mabul should also punish this individual, meaning that's not standing by your word. That it's inappropriate to reverse a transaction when you paid money, even though the still has the leftover ability by the kinyan mishicha left, and you technically are allowed to do it, it's not right, it's not morally right to do it. So by a hedjot, since it's inappropriate for a hedjot to reverse such a transaction, and generally we won't allow a hedjot to do it because of that, or he won't do it because of that, so too by hekdesh, we're going to treat hekdesh like the hedjot. So too hekdesh should have to keep that moral high ground, and if you paid money, if you were pulled it already, then what? It'll stand, even though you haven't done the kinyan mishicha yet, and that'll be like a hedjot, that you don't have, hekdesh has the same level as a hedjot, which means that he can't reverse the transaction once the money is paid. All right, we'll stop over here.